Good evening. Hello, church. Nick here, the Associate Vicar. Lovely to be with you again this evening. Do keep the Bibles open, by the way. Please don't shut them, because we're going to be referring really closely to those amazing words of Jesus. And let me pray as we start. Our great God and Father in heaven, we praise you that your love is better than life itself. And so we pray tonight once again, show us who you are. Show us your love for us. We need it, Lord. So please show it to us once more tonight. Amen. I'm just going to dive straight in, okay? Look at verse 13. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command." Jesus here, he wants his followers to see themselves as his friends. Right at the heart of the Christian faith, there's this idea that you get to have a personal connection with Jesus Christ, a personal friendship with him. Now, question, what do you think that means to be a friend of Jesus Christ? I heard a quote, a friend is someone who knows all about you and still likes you. Is it along those lines? What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus Christ? If you're not a Christian here tonight, you're kind of looking in on the Christian faith, what do you think it means? What do you imagine it involves day by day? For those of us here that would call themselves Christians, what does it mean to you to have a personal friendship with Jesus Christ each day? Well, in this section of the Bible, Jesus is preparing his disciples the night before he gets executed for what life is going to be like when he's not there. And here, he's teaching them how to relate to him, how to relate to him as his friend. What does it mean to be his friend? He's going to tell us three things, what it means to be Jesus' friend here and tonight. First one, it means experiencing his love, verses 9 and 10. Secondly, he's going to say it means obeying his commands. And then thirdly, he's going to say it means sharing his joy. Experiencing his love, obeying his commands, sharing his joy. That's where we're going. Those are the three things we're going to see tonight. So first thing, what does it mean? It means experiencing his love. Have a look at verse 9 with me. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. As the Father has loved me. So first thing it means to be one of Jesus' friends is it means that you get to experience his love. Now, to understand Jesus' love for us, he takes us right into the life of God. Right? He takes us right into the heart of the Trinity. Look at verse 9 again. Notice he says, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. So in the Christian faith, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus here is saying the way that the Father has loved him, the Son, is the way that he loves us. Now, that's huge, okay? That's a massive idea. Because in the Bible, it says the way the Father loves the Son is with an infinite, eternal, unchanging love. The Bible says before time began, the Father delighted in the Son. He adored him with this love that's like a fountain that can never run out and can never change. The Father loves the Son like that. And here Jesus says, look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, has loved the Son, so I have loved you. Now, immediately, guys, that means that this love that comes from being a friend of Jesus is greater than any other love in the world. It's greater than any human, even the best human relationship. Because human love, I mean, it's great, isn't it? Human love is great, but it's not perfect because people aren't perfect. People can be selfish. Human love can change over time. Human love can run out. Human love can let you down. But God isn't like us. The love of the Father for the Son is eternal. It's unchanging. It's an infinite fountain of affection and adoration. And that eternal love in the Godhead comes to us through Jesus Christ, through being friends with him. So to be Jesus's friend is to know that you are loved beyond your wildest dreams, with a love that no human love can compare to. And look at how Jesus describes this love in verse 13 as well. Look in verse 13 with me. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. Right, this is a love that doesn't hold anything back. This is a love in which Jesus would give everything, would lay down his life for you and I. There was a moment Jesus was going to face the next day after he spoke these words when he had a choice. His choice was to lay down his life, to hang on a cross, naked, spat on, publicly shamed and humiliated, to pay the price for all of our sins. That's one half of the choice. Second half of the choice, to hold back from that, and for us to be outside of this love, kept outside of this love, cut off from God's love forever. That was the choice facing him. To hold back and we'd be lost, or to give everything and draw us into this love. And you know what he does? Greater love has no one than this. He held nothing back from you and I. Do you see his love for you in that? Do you see his love for you in dying on the cross? As if that wasn't enough, there's another way that this love doesn't hold back in verse 15 as well. Have a look at verse 15 with me. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He shares with us God the Father's purposes and plans. It's not like a slave-master relationship. You know, slave relationship where they have to obey, but they don't really know what the master's doing. They just have to get on and do whatever he says. He says, no, it's not like that. He shares, he holds back nothing. He shares everything that he learns from the Father about his purposes and his plans with us. What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? Well, it's to experience day by day the greatest love that there is. It's to know deep down the love of God poured into your heart, love that holds nothing back. Is that how you think of it? Is that how you think of your friendship with Jesus if you're a Christian? Or of what it would mean to have a friendship with Jesus if you're not? To experience God's love. That's the first thing. But second thing, Jesus connects this love to obeying his commands. So look at verse 9 with me again. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So, to be Jesus' friends, it means to experience his love, but it also means to obey his commands. Notice that word remain there in verse 9 and 10. Remain in my love. See, Jesus is telling his disciples, look, after I'm gone, the world is going to be trying to pull you away from me. The world and its desires is going to be trying to drag you away from me. But you've got to remain in me. You've got to stick with me. You've got to press into my love. It's the word remain in English, it's a passive word. Like, you can remain in your seat by doing nothing. But the word here is not a passive word. It's an active word. It means to stick with or to press into. So he's saying we need to press into his love, remain in his love. How? Well, says it right there. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. It's by obeying him, by obeying his commands. We press into Jesus' love by obeying him. Now, I need to be really clear here, because in the Christian faith, this is really, really important idea, that I don't earn Jesus' love by obeying him. That's really important in the Christian faith, and lots of people get that wrong. In the Christian faith, it all starts with his love for us. It all starts when we didn't deserve it, with him choosing us. So you can see, he puts it there that way in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. Right, so this is important. It starts with his love. His love for us. It all comes, originates from him when we don't deserve it at all. But once you're in that love, once you've tasted it, once you've become a friend of Jesus, how do you respond to that love? Well, you've got to respond by obeying him. You can't separate those two things in the Christian life. They go together. I came across a very clever theologian who put it really simply. Could we have the slide up? Would that be okay? He puts it this way. I found this helpful. If you don't, I'm really sorry. I found it helpful. We obey Jesus because we love him. That's why we obey. We love him by obeying. How do I express love for Jesus? By doing what he says. By obeying him. And then finally, by obeying, we remain or we press into his love. So we've got to hold those two things together. To be friends with Jesus is to obey his commands. Now, look, some people think of the Christian life a bit like, imagine an old school circus, okay, where you've got the elephant, the massive elephant, and it kind of marches round the ring, doing whatever it wants. And behind the elephant, you've got the ranger guy who's got a massive shovel, and he has to walk behind, and all the elephant droppings, he just has to sort of sweep them up and sweep them up and sweep them up. Now, some people think of the Christian life like that. I just get to march around doing what I want, going where I want, and Jesus has to sweep up after me. He just has to forgive me. He just has to bring me back into God's love. And I just crack on doing whatever I want. And he follows behind, cleaning up after me. Now, he does promise to forgive me. But that is not the Christian life. In the Christian life, you don't get to pick and choose when you obey him. You're not the leader charging off doing whatever you want. No, to have this relationship with Jesus is to obey his command. Those two things go together. To be a friend of Jesus is to do what he says. And what's the specific command he wants us to obey here? Well, look at verse 12 with me. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And he repeats it again in verse 17. This is my command, that you love one another. Okay, so the big command he wants us to obey is that as he has loved us, so we are then to go out and love others. Do you see the chain there? From the Father to the Son to us, and then in that same way that he loves, that holding nothing back, that sacrificing your own desires, that laying down of your life and your desires to love other people, that's the command we're to obey. We remain in Jesus' love, we press into his love by obeying his command, specifically his command to love other people. It means, if you're a Christian, it means each week, each day, asking yourself, quite simply, who can I love today? Who can I love? And then even when that hurts, even when it's hard, even when you have to sacrifice, you love. And as we do that, we remain, we press into Jesus' love. Now, I want to be really clear. That is not easy. Obeying Jesus' commands, that is not easy. Some of his commands are really, really hard to obey. And so we need to hear this third thing that Jesus says in verse 11. Look at verse 11 with me. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That's the third thing it means to be a friend of Jesus. It means to share his joy. Why does Jesus tell us to obey him? Why does he tell us to obey his commands? We'll have a look at verse 11. Why does he tell us this? Well, because he wants his joy to be in us. He wants us to taste and enter into his joy in our lives. That's it. Again, people often think that if I really go for it as a Christian, if I really obey what Jesus tells me, he's going to make my life worse. Right? He's going to make me boring and miserable and repressed and sad. But no, Jesus tells us this. He gives us his commands. Why? Well, it's for our joy. And this joy, we need to understand about this joy. This joy is, it's deeper than just self-satisfaction. Right? There is a joy, isn't there, that comes from just acting out your desires. You know, you've got a day off and you just do whatever you feel like doing. There's a joy that comes from that, isn't there? From serving my own desires. But it can be a shallow joy. It can be a bit like eating sweets. Tastes good, but it doesn't sustain you. See, Jesus, the joy that he's talking about here, it's a joy that comes from sacrificing your desires for the good of others. It's a joy that comes from loving like he does, from laying down from denying your own desires in order to love other people. It's a deeper joy than satisfying your own desires. It's the joy of knowing that you're fulfilling the purpose of your life. It's the joy of knowing that God's love is poured into your heart and that you're then pouring that love out to other people. It's a much, much deeper joy than just acting out my desires. Jesus tells us this because he wants us to have joy. Now, here's the rub, though. Here's the rub for you and me. That is hard to believe, isn't it? In the moment, it is hard to believe that obeying Jesus is going to lead to greater joy. That's true in small ways, and it's true in big ways. Small, stupid, trivial example, okay? Thursday night, get to the end of a long day, finally get the kids into bed. I've got 2 hours free, and I just wanted to veg and watch rugby videos on YouTube. That's what I wanted to do. But the bathrooms were awful. Like, 2 hours worth of cleaning awful. They were really bad. And understandably, my wife hates it when the bathrooms are that dirty. My fault completely. And so I have this moment where I really want to veg and watch rugby videos, but God, Jesus very clearly commands me as a husband, I'm to sacrifice myself to love my wife. So what I should jolly well clean the bathrooms. Now, in that moment, it's not easy to believe this one is for my joy. Not easy to believe that. Silly example. It's not easy to believe that denying myself is going to lead to joy. But there is a deeper joy in fulfilling the purpose God's made you for, of sharing his love with the world. There is. That's a trivial example, but this is also hard to believe in much more serious ways. Right now, the Church of England is finding verse 11 very hard to believe when it comes to what God says about sexuality. See, God says quite clearly in the Bible that sex is for heterosexual marriage. And outside of that, we're commanded to abstain from it. And right now, the Church of England is trying to introduce services that bless same-sex unions. They're saying it's not like a marriage service, but if you read the suggested wording, it basically is like a marriage service. And they don't believe that in this area, that it could be for our joy to obey what Jesus says. And I can see why. I can see why they want to change that, because that seems like a huge sacrifice. A life of singleness, a life of celibacy, that seems like a huge sacrifice. But Jesus says, verse 11, I've told you this to obey me, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. There is a deeper joy that comes from trusting and obeying Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, Nick, how can you say that? You're a heterosexual married man. How dare you say that? But it's not just me that says it. Tonight we're going to hear Jeanette's story in a few moments' time. And this is her lived experience, that verse 11 is in a sense true, that there is a deeper contentment that comes, even if that means being abstinent for your whole life. Look at verse 11 with me again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So what is God saying to us tonight? To be Jesus' friends means experiencing his love, obeying his commands, and sharing in his joy. If I could sum it up in one sentence, we remain in Jesus' love by obeying his command to love. Remain in Jesus' love this week by obeying his command to love. Ask yourself this week, ask yourself each day, who can I love? And sacrifice your own desires to do that. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that as the Father has loved you, so you have loved us. We thank you and praise you that your love is better than any human love. We thank you and praise you that what you say, the commands you give us not because you hate us and want to make us miserable, but because you love us and you want to lead us into this deeper joy, the joy of living out our purpose, the joy of sharing your love with the world. Help us to believe that this week, Lord. Help us in the small moments, in the silly ways, to die to ourselves, to love other people. Help us in the big ways, in the big areas of our life where we find it hard to trust that obeying you will bring us joy. Help us to know that you've held nothing back from us. Help us to know that we can trust you with every part of our lives. We pray in your name and for your glory. Amen.